Thank you for listening to this message from Lifehouse Church.
All right, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Lifehouse. It is good to have you here. Turn to somebody, give them a high five. Do it right now. Tell them it's good to see you in church this morning. Give them a high five. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Hey, just want to say a little something. I'm not going to go the whole way around, but you know what I love? Those boxes over there are exactly what we celebrate over here. These green balls are invitation balls. If you're new with us, if we invite somebody to the house of God, we put their name on there or initials and a date on there. And we do that so we can pray over that invitation because we want people to come into the kingdom of God. That is doing the same thing that these are doing right over here. Those are invitations that go out. And if you don't know anything about Operation Christmas Child, when those boxes arrive, they give the children the boxes, but they share the message of Jesus Christ simultaneously while they're doing that. And it's an invitation. Years ago, we had Layla Allison here. She was a recipient of that one of those shoe boxes when she was a child. She ended up as a child going through the Bosnian conflict, the civil war that took place there. An amazing testimony, and we still hear from her from time to time. She's in Florida now, but we hear the stories of what those boxes do. Same thing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off praying over these, and you already prayed over those, all right? These are our invitations. These are going out across the globe. If you'd bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to come in your house to hear your word, Lord, to share. And God, we pray over these invitations this morning. We're believing for those who don't know you and those who are far from you that they'll come into the kingdom. And Lord, God, as the shoeboxes go out and the invitations go out with these green balls, Lord, God, Spirit of God, just go ahead. Go forward, go before us and minister to hearts and lives and prepare them. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. 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 Well, it is good to be in God's house. And I'm going to start off just saying something. I'm going to make a little bit of an assumption, which is a terrible idea most of the time, right? But I'm going to assume this. Many of you probably are a lot like me in the notion that you don't believe everything that you read or see online. Can I assume that this morning? Amen. I got a witness. Thank you. All right. Right. We don't believe everything we see or what we read online. As a matter of fact, a little bit of a conversation went by this morning about AI, right? Artificial intelligence. And it's hard to differentiate when you're looking online what's generated and what's real. What is fact? What is fiction? What's authentic? What isn't authentic? I read a little survey. In 2024, they took a survey. 84 participants of people that create content online admitted to using AI to generate a lot of their material, right? It's either compiled or made up or a compilation of different things in the viewing. And now more than ever, we need to be a people who are aware and fact-checking things. Amen? It's true. We need to verify what we're reading. We need to verify what we're watching. We need to seek out evidence and proof of authenticity. You need to listen to testimonials and reviews, test and validate, do our homework, right? Do all these things. Seek out signs and evidence of what's truth and really what isn't. Make sure it's real. And I got pulled into the whole online thing a little bit this summer. This summer I like to do yard stuff. I like to work out in the yard, work with my hands. It's fun to do, and it's very enjoyable. And I was on a mission to kill the weeds in my mulch beds, right? And amen, right? Come on, some of you out there, you yard warriors are out there. And I saw this thing online where you mix up your own concoction to kill weeds, right? It's supposed to not have all the chemicals in. Anybody read all that online, right? White vinegar, you mix white vinegar. Some of you are writing right now. White vinegar. So I bought a bunch of gallons of white vinegar. I got a bunch of salt out of the kitchen. I went and raided the kitchen, my wife's kitchen, because I don't cook. I raided her kitchen, took out everything I could salt-wise, right, and got a little bit of dish soap, and I started making this concoction that's supposed to kill weeds. And I can, in fact, verify, right, because we need to know, we need to test. I can verify that it does kill the weeds, but it doesn't always kill the roots, just so you know. All right, it took multiple applications before I actually killed the plant off. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Most of us like some kind of tangible evidence of what we're reading and what we're seeing. None of us want to play the fool, right? None of us want to be labeled as gullible or ignorant in any kind of way. We want verification. We want facts of what's true. And this even applies to God's word. It does. It applies to God. It'd be amazing if I could just read the word of God one time to you. Just get up here and preach and speak the word of God one time to you, and your faith would be eternally fixed. Your faith would be up here. You believe God for anything, and you just keep moving along, right? And all you had to do is hear it one time, right? Day after day, you'd have no doubt in your head and in your heart. I just preach a message and shazam, you'd all be warriors of faith. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? But how many know that's not really the reality of it? It really isn't, right? It's not. We have moments of great faith sometimes. We have seasons of great faith. We even walk in faith. But sometimes, say sometimes, sometimes we need some tangible evidence to keep our faith moving and strong. Jesus dying on the cross, raising from the grave on the third day, right? Paying the price for our sin, for my sin, for your sin, and, you know, going and ascending into heaven and one day coming back to return to take us back should be enough. It should be, but it honestly isn't completely. And Jesus himself knew this. He knew it would not be completely true for us just to read the written word of God and experience nothing else. He knew that. He knew that it would take the word of God, the word of God, plus the Holy Spirit. When he left, he sent back the Holy Spirit to live within inside of every believer. It would take the word of God, it would take the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and it would be, you know, being active and alive in our lives, counseling us. How many know that the Holy Spirit is the counselor, right? He's the one who comes. He's the paraclete. He's the advocate for us. And occasionally, on occasion, you would need to witness God's work and power in a tangible way. You really would. If you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 2. We're going into John chapter 2. We were in John chapter 1 last week. Once in a while, sometimes, you're going to need a sign, you're going to need a wonder, and you might even need a miracle. John chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Whatever he says to you to do, do it." Now there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons of water. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim, up to the brim, and he said to them, "Draw some out now, take it to the master of the feast," and they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn it, the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunken, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs," say signs, "this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days." I want you to get the picture. I want you to see the scene this morning. Jesus, his mom, right? His mother, Mary, and his 12 disciples. Now, this is early on in Jesus' public ministry. This is early on when he gathers the 12 disciples. So it's Jesus, his mom, and the 12 disciples that he has, the 12 apprentices that he's training. They all get invited to a wedding, and they go to the wedding. Now, you got to understand something about the 12 that are with him. They've not walked with Jesus very long at this point. They've seen him teach. They've seen him preach. They've seen him give invitation. As a matter of fact, they accepted the invitation to come and follow him as a rabbi, as a teacher. But they didn't fully understand who was sitting in front of them at this wedding. And in their hearts and lives, they might have believed that this was the rabbi, a great rabbi to follow. And they might have even had a hint that this was the prophesied Messiah, that this was the Son of God, that this could be the one. Jesus might be the one. They were probably sitting there because they were new with all this, trying to read the situation, right? I don't know. I can't ask him. Trying to figure this out, what's really happening. but they're about to experience a sign. Turn to somebody right now and say, you need a sign. You need a sign. Come on. Tell them you need a sign. We like signs, people, right? We like to know whether we're supposed to go left. We like an arrow that goes left. We like to know if something's pointing right. We like to know if it's a stop, right? Or go ahead and proceed with caution, or children at play, or whatever it is. We like a sign. We like a sign. And the wedding is progressing, and they're enjoying the reception. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, Jesus' mom presses in and comes with some pressing wedding news. She breaks into the conversation, and she says, Jesus, we've run out of wine. And I love Jesus' response, right? At first, he sounds like every guy I know, right? Not my problem, Mom. Because Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? At first glance, it looks like that, right? But then he throws in something a bit prophetic. He says, but my hour has not yet come. Jesus throws in this prophetic phrase, my hour has not come. What hour? He was referring to him revealing himself as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as a remedy for all of mankind's sin, to conquer death, hell, and the grave, the one who would have power over all things, and the one whose word would heal, the one whose word would control nature itself. That's what he was saying to her. Woman, my hour's not yet come. I'm not quite there. But somehow, Jesus' mom, she knows. How many know mama knows? Come on. She knows. Because she intuitively, she doesn't say another word. She intuitively turns to the servant. She said, whatever he says to do, do it. She knows something big's about to go down. She knows her son. And Jesus tells these servants to go get 6 water pots that are sitting there. I just imagine them in ancient Israel. They were probably like these big crock water pots, right? And they hold 20 to 30 gallons, somewhere between 120 to 180 gallons of water. And he says, fill them with water. And the servants fill them with water. And before they can take a sample of this to the master of the feast, right? The wedding coordinator for all the rest of us, right? Before they can do that, Jesus instantly changes the water into wine. And they take a sip. They take a cup of this wine to the master of the feast. And he says, wait a minute. This is all messed up. Normally, they put the good stuff out first. They've waited till now. Right? So it's further in the wedding. He goes to the groom and says this. I can imagine the groom. He was probably completely confused at what was going on. But after reading this account, you got to ask yourself, why? Right? Why would Jesus do his first public ministry, his miracle, in front of a newly appointed apprentices at this private wedding? Why would his first miracle be here? Because Jesus knew something. He knew that these newly recruited disciples would need a sign. They would need something. They would need something that would help them understand who he actually is, that he's not just a rabbi, but that he's the Son of God. They needed a day that they would never, ever, ever, ever forget. They needed a sign. They needed something from God to know what they were walking into. They were committing their lives for the rest of their lives to follow Jesus. And they personally witnessed it. They tasted it. They seen it with their own eyes, and it would never leave them. Once in a while, sometimes we need a sign, right? We need something that's not generated, not made up, not secondhand information, not something you just read on a page. Once in a while, you're going to need a sign from heaven. You're going to need something, right? He knew they're going to need a sign. They're going to need something to strengthen their faith. Sometimes we need a sign from God to build our faith. We really do. Sometimes we need God's power, his supernatural power at work in our lives. Sometimes it's going to be God's word. You always need God's word. We've been talking about this. We're going to continue to talk about it. You need to be in God's word every day. You're not really going to understand the sign when it comes unless you're in his word regularly. You're going to need the word of God. You're going to need the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And once in a while, say sometimes, you're going to need a sign. Sometimes you're going to need something to solidify your spirit. Your godly courage is going to need to rise up. You're going to need someone to remind you of who he actually is and what he can do. If you experience a genuine sign from God, a miracle, a healing, something that's a sign from heaven, it never leaves you. When I was a kid, I grew up in church. We were in church all the time. Not as much as Dixie's family. She was a pastor's kid. She was in church. She lived at church. She just had a sleeping bag there just about. But we were at church a lot. My family served the Lord, and we were at church a lot. And I remember going to a camp meeting. We had camp meeting once a year in Somerset, Pennsylvania. And they had morning services, they had evening services, and it wasn't like here. It wasn't heat controlled and air conditioning. It was an old open tabernacle. I don't know if you know what that is, if you've ever been on a campground, but it was an old open thing. Basically, just think about a concrete pad, right? Some walls with doors that open, and a stage, and that's it. No air conditioning, no heat, no anything. And you would go up there in the summertime, and they would have camp meeting, and they had these old hard, you think these pews are stiff, man? They had hard wooden pews that were stiff. But I remember an evangelist coming in, and he preached a message, an amazing message. I don't remember what it was about, but he had this altar call, and all these people came down to get healing. And I'm a kid. I'm curious. I'm up front. I just want to see what it's all about. I didn't really go up to get healed or prayed for. I just wanted to see what was going down. So I went up, and I remember standing there, and they brought this lady up, and this lady came hobbling up the aisle, and she clearly had a deformed leg. And one leg was shorter than the other. Now, I'm not talking about a half inch short. I'm not even talking about 2 inch short. I'm talking like almost needed a jacked up platform shoe, steel kind of thing, short. And they brought her up. They sat her down, and she had a lot of pain in her hip because of all this. And they were praying. And they said, "What do you need?" So these preachers start praying for her. They just gather around her. They anoint her with oil. They begin to pray for her, right? And they had pulled her legs up to see how short they were. And I'm talking short. And they put her legs back down, and they pray for her, and they pull her legs back up. And I'm telling you, as true as I'm standing here, they were the same length. The place erupted. My jaw hit the ground as a kid, right? And some of you are like, "Well, I don't believe it." I don't care if you believe it or not. I saw it. You don't have to believe it, right? But it never left me. It never left me. I saw God move right then, right there, and perform a miracle. It never left me. It was amazing. She walked out of that place just like everybody else did, right? Jesus knew that sometimes you're going to need the superpower of God at work in your life. Sometimes you're going to need a sign. Sometimes it's going to come in God's word. If you're reading God's word daily, it's going to pop off the page. I've had God just give me scriptures, and it is a sign from heaven. Sometimes it's going to be something out in nature. Sometimes it's going to be something that's in front of you. Sometimes it's going to be healing. Turn to somebody right now, tell them sometimes you just need a sign. Turn to somebody, tell them you need a sign. It's true. You're going to need a vision. You're going to need a healing. You're going to need a miracle. You're going to need something. You're going to need a word, right? And I got to remind you this morning, what's supernatural to us is completely natural in God's kingdom. Sometimes we get in all of what God does, and it's just everyday stuff there, right? In the kingdom of God, it's a piece of cake. But for us, it's a supernatural. Stay in his word. Stay in the presence with the Holy Spirit and ask God. If you need a sign, it's okay to ask for a sign, okay? Now, let me issue a little warning right here. Sometimes I got to issue a warning when I preach something. Sometimes you got to have a little balance in God's word, right? Sometimes we need a sign, but we don't want to become sign and wonder junkies. You know what that is? Anybody know somebody that's a sign and wonder junkie, right? Sometimes we need God to speak into our lives, but you don't want to become a sign and wonder junkie. We want to chase God. We don't want to chase the miracles and the signs and the wonders. It's okay to ask for a sign. It's okay to get God to give you that sign, but don't become a sign and wonder junkie. There's a difference in waiting and asking and God to confirm something in your life and to give you a sign, and it's quite a different thing if that's all you're ever chasing is the signs, right? It's an amazing thing. I remember as a kid, my dad went through back surgery, and he virtually could barely walk. And they did the surgery, and he was worse than when he started out. That happens sometimes with back surgery. He was on the couch. And I remember my dad getting prayed for, and he was healed. For the next decades, my dad worked manual labor, never had an issue. But my dad never chased the sign. He just asked God. Right? And people prayed. We want to chase the one who performs the work, not the work itself. Does that make sense? Got to give a little warning there. Jesus said this actually to his disciples, and this will bring complete clarity to it, because God's word always brings clarity, right? Jesus said this to his disciples after he rose from the grave. He stepped out of the grave, the miracle of miracles, death to life, and he said this as he was instructing the disciples in Mark 16, 17. He said, and these signs, say signs, will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus said the signs will follow the believers, not the believers should follow the signs. Amen? He said the signs will follow you who believe. He will empower you. And I don't got time to break down all what that scripture means. There's a lot of meanings in there. But he said the signs are going to follow you. In John 6, 26, Jesus rebukes a crowd of people for chasing him for the signs. Jesus was praying. He was preaching. He was healing. He was healing all kind of diseases. And at one point, he ends up on a hillside, and he takes a couple loaves and a couple fish and produces enough bread, right? He breaks it, blesses it, and feeds 5,000 people. People are not, how many know that's a sign? Amen? You got a loaf of bread and a couple fish, and you break it and feed thousands of people. It was a sign. And people started chasing after Jesus. They started following him just because they were after bread. They were just after a sign. Follow God. Chase after God. And the sign will come. The wonders will come. Stay in his word daily. Follow the Holy Spirit. Chase after him. And sometimes, say sometimes, got to drill that into you. Sometimes the sign that follows me will be for someone else. The sign that's in my life will be for someone else. Let me break that down for you. Sometimes the sign that takes place in your life will be for someone else. This is scriptural. It's threaded all through the New Testament. It really is. Worship team, if you'd come. If you'd come. Once Jesus raises from the dead, comes out of the grave 3 days later, he instructs his disciples. He's seen by over 500 witnesses. And he tells his disciples to do something. He says, I want you to go, leave where you're at now, and I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there, and I want you to wait, because I'm going to send you a promise. I'm going to send you a gift. That gift that would come, 120 listen to him, and they go into an upper room, and they wait, and they pray, and they seek God. And Jesus does exactly what he said. He sends to heaven, he leaves, and he sends the Holy Spirit to them. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, he does not come quietly. In Acts chapter 2, he steps on the scene, and he doesn't just show up in a little whisper. He comes with great power. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Come on, this would get your attention, right? This would be a sign and a wonder. And one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the launch. This was the birth of the church. And the first thing that took place was there was a sign. The Holy Spirit showed up. There were visible signs of what took place. And the 120 believers that were in that upper room, they pour out into the streets of Jerusalem. They begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And virtually thousands of people come to faith that day in Jesus. Thousands. The word of God says it. Peter preaches his first message, and thousands of people. And they begin to follow. Acts 1:8 says, but when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. And there will be evidence and signs that the Holy Spirit will do in you that will be for someone else. Let me show you what that looks like. And probably many of you have been in church, you've heard this maybe your whole lives, and we teach it in Sunday school to the kids, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have been crucified in the flesh and its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are signs and wonders to people out around you. You may have never seen them that way. Some of you, before Jesus, pre-Jesus, you were not loving. You did not have joy. You did not have peace. You did not have long-suffering, kindness, goodness. You didn't have these attributes. You come to Christ, and all of a sudden, God begins to do a work in you. Jesus begins to change your life. Some people, when they get saved, you know, and people meet them like 6 months later, they're like, what happened to that person, right? They were mean as all get out before. What happened? You know, you get this person who was so tough and terrible, and Jesus saves him. It's a sign, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, and the Word of God said that it's not the only thing that you're going to see. Matter of fact, how many of you have ever met a mean Christian? Anybody ever meet a Christian? Go ahead, raise your hand. Just be honest. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder sometimes when I meet a mean Christian, I'm like, oh, wait a minute here. All right. So the Holy Spirit comes when we get saved. He comes to dwell in us. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Then there's you. Who exactly and what exactly are you following, right? Because these should be the signs that are there. This is what should be prevalent in our lives. This is what should come forth. I didn't say perfection. I just said these are going to be evident. And Jesus didn't stop there. It didn't stop with the fruit of the Spirit, but he said, I'm going to give you the gifts of the Spirit as well. Because 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are difference of ministries, but the same Lord, and diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, right, that's what you see, is given to each for the profit of all. It's for somebody else. The gift that's working in you is for someone else. To some, he's going to give a word of wisdom. This isn't just conventional wisdom that you gathered as you gotten old, okay, like me. You got decades under your belt, and it's just conventional. It's a word of wisdom. It says a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith, right? This is supernatural faith. Gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues, interpretation tongue. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. It says this. In other scriptures, like 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says gifts of healing and helps and administration in tongues. Signs and wonders that follow the believers. Y'all get distracted so easy. Signs and wonders that follow those who believe. Sometimes you're gonna need the sign yourself. There are times you're going to need God to speak in your spirit. There are times in your life you're going to need an answer, and it's got to be a God answer, because you know you don't have the answer. Anybody you consulted doesn't have the answer, and you're going to need somebody you need a word from God. You need something you know straight from the throne room of grace. And then there's going to be other times that the person beside you, look at the person beside you right now, they're going to need a sign, and God said he'll use you for the sign. There's going to be times that God will give you a word for somebody. So I have people, this happens in people's lives all the time. Christians are so shocked, right? They're like, I just felt so prompted to call somebody, and I needed to call them, and I felt like I was supposed to share the scripture. Yeah, that's a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that God's prompting you to do. Do it. Do it. That's a sign for somebody. Do you know how many times somebody's walked up to me? I've been praying about something, and they walked up to me and said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I got to tell you this. God just prompted me to tell you this. I have to tell you this. And they say it, and I'm like, boom, right there it is, right? It's a sign. Sometimes you're going to go pray for somebody. First time some of you pray for somebody for healing, and God actually heals them, it's going to blow your mind. Well, I don't know why it happens with Christians. We'll go pray for somebody for God to heal them. And God doesn't heal all the time. He's sovereign. He decides and chooses when he does that. But the first time you go pray for somebody, it shocks you. I don't know why, right? Dear Lord, heal him. And then when God heals him, you're like, I can't believe it. But it'll change you. You'll never forget it. First time you pray for somebody and God heals them, and that miracle takes place, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow their mind. It'll blow your mind both. You'll just both stand there and stunned and in awe of what God did. Sometimes you're going to need a sign. Sometimes God's going to use some of you. You're going to have great faith in a moment, and you're going to pray for somebody, and things are going to shift. You're going to give them the right word, the right thing. I sat in a room this week with preachers. Now, we all should not be shocked by anything. Room full of preachers. It was a denominational gathering I had to go to. I serve on a board, and we're sitting there, and a gentleman that's there, he's an elderly pastor. He's in his 80s, but he's got energy galore. He's in his 80s. And he said, you know what? He looked across the table to a guy who called him, who normally would never, ever call him. And he said, I can't even tell you what that word meant to me when you called me and spoke that encouraging word to me. And the other guy said, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is I was going down the road and the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to call him now. And he called him. And I watched these two brothers connect. And as long as we've been doing this, these two pastors were both kind of shocked still, even though it happens all the time. Sometimes you're going to need a sign. I'm going to ask you to stand.
From Lifehouse Church. We pray that you were impacted powerfully by this message. If you have been personally affected by our ministry and you would like to partner with us as we love God, love people every day, visit our website at www.lifehousecog.com.